Hello and welcome to Radio Inqilab, a podcast focused on change makers who are working to educate, resolve, and change the complex systems within which we live. Radio Inqilab aims to bring voices to the forefront who have traditional as well as modern solutions for our planet, can share knowledge on how we take decisive action and live in harmony with each other and Mother Earth. In this time of chaos, disinformation, and negativity, Radio Inqilab seeks to focus on ideas that work and the positive impact they can have. My name is Rupande Mehta, and I come to you from Lenape Land in New Jersey.
Today, our guest is Abubakar Abed. Abubakar is a 22-year-old war correspondent from Palestine, currently living in Gaza and reporting on the genocide. When we spoke, he was at the Al-Aqsa Hospital, and despite several challenges, we were able to have a brief conversation. Welcome, Abubakar, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, where are you right now? I'm hearing some noise in the background. Describe to me where you are.
Yeah, I'm right now inside the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir el-Balah. And it's raining because we are in the winter. People are still stuck in their shelters and displacement camps. And this is what is happening at the moment.
The ceasefire has now been announced for a few days. What is the general mood over there with the people? How are people feeling? I'm sure people are returning back to their homes, and there's a lot of destruction, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of destruction every single, everywhere in Gaza, everywhere in central Gaza and Rafah and Khan Yunis. But the scenes are much better than they were before the ceasefire began. And what is happening right now is that people are returning to their houses, but there is nothing left. All of their homes are destroyed. All of their neighborhoods have been erased, and all that they are expecting at the moment is just unfathomable carnage after Israeli troops left the territory. So it's a time of it's a very, very harsh time for Palestinians now. And what is happening is that what is happening is absolutely indescribable, and people's fears grow as because ahead of Amit talks that this ceasefire might be violated and the genocide may be resumed. But this is what is happening right now, just more of a better or situation. People are happy that the bloodshed has stopped. People are happy that there are no bombings, there are no killings anymore, but there is still pain in their hearts. There is still so much suffering because the situation needs months and maybe years until it gets better.
You mentioned that the ceasefire may be violated. Is that what you said?
Yeah, because we've been hearing the drones buzzing over the course of time. We've been hearing the gunfire and all of this, and that's why. Because there have been also live ammunitions and volleys of projectiles launched on civilians returning to their houses, particularly in the northern and the eastern parts of central Gaza, of the southern parts of the Strip. So this is what is happening at the moment, and there have been reported casualties. And all those who used to live near the borders before October the 7th are unable to return to their houses or unable to return to their demolished neighborhoods and the squares they were living in because Israel has wreaked havoc in every single place inside Gaza. And this sort of violations might cause trouble for Palestinians who have just bounced back from 471 days of pure terror and horrors.
Right. I saw a video a couple of days ago about a woman who was going back to her home to retrieve the bodies of her children under the rubble.
I'm assuming there's a lot of that happening right now as the scale of devastation becomes
Yeah.
clearer and bodies are being found under the rubble.
Yes, this is what is happening, of course, because there have been many people, thousands probably of people, who have been killed by Israeli forces in extremely hazardous areas where the Israeli military used to operate very actively, and those people who refused to leave their houses and denied the Israeli evacuation orders during the past time. So now people are trying to are searching for their loved ones under the rubble, are trying to recover bodies from under the rubble, the bodies of their loved ones, the bodies of their neighbors, of their cousins, of their relatives. So the death toll of Gaza is expected to rise, to sharply rise in the next days as more bodies are being retrieved. The Gaza Health Ministry has just stated that around 150 bodies have been recovered from under the rubble. This is a normal scene that we have expected because the death toll is very underestimated, and I believe that houses, homes, buildings, and all this that has been destructed by Israel during the last 14 months is inconceivable, is unimaginable for people who are trying to rebuild absolutely out of nothing. Aid has been allowed into the strip, but still, there must be unified, united efforts until Gaza is rebuilt.
Yeah, I believe that's going to take a very long time based on the scale of destruction that is taking place in Gaza and in Palestine in general. You mentioned you are at a hospital right now, and we've seen, heard reports, read reports of how the infrastructure of in and also hospitals are systematically destroyed by Israel. How is it around you?
I mean, it's quite stable here in Deir el-Balah and central Gaza, but in the northern and the northwestern regions, it's very scary, it's very intimidating, and it is still dangerous to go there for people who have houses in those areas. So this is what life is like at the moment, and just people cannot again comprehend what has happened, cannot really understand that this has happened for them over the course of the past 14 months. There are still many things to be revealed in the next days and the next weeks. The war crimes that have been committed by the Israeli army, and the unseen horror that people are still not aware of. I remember, like today, while I was filming inside Al Braish camp, there was nothing left at all. There was, I mean, like complete devastation. I needed really, really, if I wanted to capture the picture, I think I needed to walk hundreds of kilometers inside the camp. I needed to film probably all day until I get a sense of what the camp really looked like, what the devastation looks like inside the camp. And it was unfathomable. The carnage was really unfathomable, and the pain is literally unforgettable.
I saw that video that you posted on Twitter, and it's nothing but just piles and piles of brick and dirt and just devastation around you. I cannot even imagine what it was like to walk. It almost feels like you are not even on this planet anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I was stunned, to be honest. I was really, really, really stunned and could not really imagine that this scale of destruction could really be seen. And it was total annihilation. It was immeasurable pain, miserable destruction, and everything was literally devastated. Even people's belongings, people's tools, people's everything,
Yeah.
literally everything was devastated.
It's all
Literally
gone.
everything just hit. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what is your hope for phase two of the ceasefire and beyond? But you're now telling me that even this stage of the ceasefire may be violated. So that's got to be devastating to just even contemplate a situation like that for the people right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, there was absolutely, I'm very hopeful, but yet Gaza needs years until it's rebuilt. Gaza needs a lot of united and intensified international efforts and efforts from outside the world to rebuild it. Gaza is no longer livable, no longer habitable. It needs years. People don't have anywhere to go, just probably to set up a tent on the rubble of their houses. This is what they have. Only this is what they have.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there are no words to describe it.
Yeah. But this behavior is very typical, though, from Israel. In the past, too, they have agreed to ceasefires, and then they have consistently violated them. And the people of Gaza are stuck with the violence and with the death.
Yeah. I mean, like, as I said, there's still much pain in their hearts. They still have a lot to forget about. They still need years to heal up. Their mental health has been very, very much destroyed and crushed. And I mean, they still need years for rehabilitation. They still need years to get a sense of normality, a sense of joy, a sense of happiness. However, it's absolutely indescribable for them, particularly in the north. Next month, we will probably be able to go north or northwards, and we will see, I'm sure we will see just more atrocities committed by the Israeli army, more atrocities committed by the Israeli regime. You know, I don't think that I really expected in my life to see such destruction. I was utterly, utterly stunned.
Yeah, you know, you talk about your life, but you're a very young man, and you have a lion's heart, but you're thrust into this moment, not of your choosing. I'm sure that there are moments that you feel very afraid of what you're doing, of the reporting that you're doing, of everything that you're bringing to us. How do you feel about all this?
I really feel, I don't know, I don't have the words, to be honest, to tell you what I feel, but what I feel is that Gaza still needs a lot. Gaza has always been marginalized. Palestinians, I believe, Palestinians need a lot of years to really, I mean, bounce back from what they have been enduring in the during the genocide, and that, I mean, like, after what I saw today, I really, really, my hope was a bit dashed, but now I'm very hopeful, because we so have people really got united to rebuild, to find means of life amid all this rubble, amid all this obliteration in their camps, in their squares. Although there were no squares, there were no buildings, there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. Like, literally, I was like, even when I talked to people and what I heard from them, they lost everything. People have lost everything. People have nothing to get back to. People are searching for a way, for a glimmer of hope. But this seems very unfeasible. But they still have belief. They're still very much connected with this land. They're still rooted here. And Gaza is their homeland. But again, I don't believe that. Like, there are a lot of refugees, thousands of refugees here in Gaza, who are still refugees, or even though this war has ended. So it's very much needed to tell people that we need to go back to our hometowns, original hometowns, or regions in the occupied Palestinian territories, because this is where we belong.
Right. Right. I commend
do. I commend the people of Palestine to still have faith in the middle of this horrific carnage. I know you have to go, so I just want to say thank you for taking some time for talking to me. And anytime you want to come back, just say the word.
Thank you so much. It was really amazing. And I really don't have words what to tell you. I was absolutely frustrated. I was absolutely devastated after what I saw. I didn't really expect it. This barbarism, this scale of barbarity and brutality is something I've never seen in my life. But yet, you will see some people debating over whether it's a genocide or not. It's absolutely inhuman what people have allowed to happen to Gaza, and how the international community has failed Gaza, how humanity has failed Gaza, because Gaza has become a city of poor vampires. There's no way that humans, that human beings can really live in Gaza. So thank you so much. And of course, I will try my very best to join you next time and in next times, inshallah.
Inshallah. Stay safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to us today. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Instagram @Radio Inqilab. Until next time, Abjo.